الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد فإنه يسرنا أن نلتقي بالشيخ عزيز فرحان الهنزي حفظه الله تعالى لمحاضرة عبر الزوم ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يبارك في الشيخ وفي وقته وأن ينفع بما يقول وأن يبارك في علمه وعمله إنه جواد كريم تفضل شيخنا
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد فإنني أحمد الله تعالى وأشكره وأثني عليه الخير كله الذي يسر لإقامة هذا اللقاء عبر هذا الأثير وعبر هذه المسافات للالتقاء بإخواني في هذا المسجد المبارك وأسأل الله تعالى أن يجزي القائمين على هذه الدورة المباركة خير الجزاء وأن يجعل هذا الاجتماع اجتماعا مرحوما وأن يوفقنا وإياكم لكل خير.
The Sheikh, he mentioned beginning by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking him for facilitating this gathering and the opportunity to meet these nice and wonderful faces. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to recompense those who are administrating these efforts and taking care of these affairs. And it's a great blessing to meet in this manner across these great distances. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this gathering of ours a gathering of mercy and blessing.
إخواني وأخواتي جميعا بارك الله في الجميع ليس هناك حقيقة أفضل في من طلب العلم الشرعي وهذه من أعظم نعم الله عز وجل ومما يدل على ذلك أن أول آية في القرآن أنزلها الله عز وجل والتي تمثل أول ارتباط بين السماء والأرض هي في قول الله تعالى اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق الله جل وعلا قال في كتابه العزيز قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب الله تعالى رفع شأن العلماء وبين مكانتهم بقوله سبحانه وتعالى يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات.
So the Sheikh, he mentioned, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, my brothers and my sisters, or brothers and sisters, there is nothing more virtuous. There's nothing more virtuous, really, in reality, than seeking the legislative knowledge. From the greatest blessings from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is to seek the legislative knowledge. And the first verse that was revealed from the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is clarifying the first connection and relationship with the heavens and the earth, any meaning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people, was with regards to seeking knowledge and reading. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read in the name of your Lord who has created. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he praised the people of knowledge, clarifying that they have a high and lofty status above those who are ignorant. And Allah, he mentioned in his book, are those who know equal to those who do not know? And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned the people of knowledge, raising them and mentioning their high and lofty status in his statement, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. And Allah, he raises those who believe amongst you and those who have been given knowledge levels and ranks.
ومن أعظم الدلائل على فضل العلماء وعلى فضل العلم أن الله تعالى أشهدهم على أعظم المشهود. أشهد العلماء على أعظم مشهود حينما بدأ بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بالعلماء قائلا شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. ومما يدل أيضا على فضل العلم أن الله تعالى اختار العلماء على علم اختار الأنبياء على علم. قال جل وعلا لنبيه عليه الصلاة والسلام وعلمك ما لم تكن تعلم وكان فضل الله عليك عظيما. وأيضا النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لم يطلب الاستزادة من شيء إلا من العلم. قال تعالى وقل رب زدني علما. ما قال زدني مالا أو زدني دنيا، قال وقل ربي زدني علما. وهذا يدل على ماذا؟ يدل على فضل العلم. لهذا العلماء يقولون أفضل ما طلبه الإنسان هو العلم الذي يرفع به الجهل عن نفسه.
And the Shaykh, he mentioned, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, that from the greatest evidences of the virtue of knowledge is that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has called the people of knowledge to witness, to bear witness along with His testimony and the testimony of the angels to the greatest thing to testify to, and that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. So Allah mentioned in this noble verse here, His testimony and the testimony of the angels coupled with the testimony of the people of knowledge, testifying that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْإِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ. And likewise, that which clarifies the virtue of knowledge is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has favored the prophets. He has favored the prophets and messengers over the people in general with knowledge. With knowledge. And Allah, He said to His prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تُكُمْ تَعْلَمْ وَكَانَ فَضُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. And your Lord has taught you that which you did not know, O Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the grace and virtue of your Lord over you is tremendous. Is tremendous. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never sought an increase or asked for more of anything from the worldly life except for knowledge. The only thing that he asked to have an increase from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was knowledge. So Allah, the Messenger, he was ordered to say, قُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِ عِلْمًا, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. So he didn't ask for money or for worldly life, rather he asked for knowledge. So all of this is an evidence for the great virtue of knowledge. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the most virtuous thing that one can seek after and do is seeking knowledge, raising ignorance from oneself and to worship Allah upon insight.
الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام على علو مكانتهم وسمو مقامهم عند الله عز وجل كانوا يرحلون في سبيل طلب العلم. وهذا موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام قصته مع الخضر في سورة الكهف. وإذ قال موسى لفتاه لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي حقبا. وهذا كان له قصة أن موسى قام خطيبا في بني إسرائيل فقال خطبة عظيمة وعصماء. فقال رجل يا موسى هل هناك أحد أعلم منك؟ قال لا. فعتب الله على موسى ولامه. لماذا؟ لأن المفروض أن موسى يقول الله أعلم، لكن قال ما أعلم، لأنه هو كليم الرحمن وهو من أولي العزم من الرسل. فأدبه الله فقال يا موسى إن عبدا من عبادي عند ملتقى البحرين عنده علم ليس عندك، كما أن عندك علم ليس عنده. ولهذا قال موسى أو أمضي حقبة، الحقب 80 سنة الواحد. قال لو كلفني 80 سنة على أن أجد هذا الرجل لا سعيت إليه. لهذا العلم قديما العلماء يرحلون كما الأنبياء رحلوا، العلماء يرحلون في سبيل طلب العلم. ونحن الآن في عصر ولله الحمد والمنة العلم يأتي إلينا من خلال هذا البث المباشر، من خلال العلماء الذين يعني يتجشمون الصعاب ويتعبون للانتقال إلى بلاد بعيدة ليقيموا الدورات العلمية مثل هذه الدورة وغيرها. هذه نعمة من نعم الله سبحانه وتعالى.
The Shaykh, he mentioned, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, that the Prophets, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, along with their high and lofty status, they would travel. They would travel to seek knowledge. And the story of Musa, alayhi salam, is well known. The story of Musa, alayhi salam, is well known. And Allah, He mentioned his story with qala Musa li fatahu la abarahu hatta abluga majma' al-bahrayni aw amdhi huquba. That Musa, whenever he found out that there was a person who had knowledge he didn't have, he was very determined to travel a far distance. It's mentioned that the Huqba is 90 years, is a long distance, and he was ready to travel that distance to seek knowledge, along with his status and the fact that he's from the prophets and messengers. So the story of Musa alayhi salam has this issue here of Musa. It has a story in that he was giving a sermon amongst the children of Israel, and then somebody stood up and asked him and said, is there anybody who has more knowledge than you? And Musa, he said, no, alayhi salatu wasalam. Yani, because he's from the greatest prophets and messengers of that day. So this is what he mentioned. But what is more proper for him to say is to say, inshaAllah. To say, Allahu alam, Allah knows best. to say Allah knows best. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimanded him for this, and he mentioned here that there's a man who has more knowledge than him, and sent him to Al-Khadir. Sent him to Al-Khadir, and Al-Khadir, he mentioned that I have, O Musa, you have knowledge that I do not have, and I have knowledge that you do not have. So like this as well, after the prophets and messengers, the ulama, the people of knowledge, they will travel to seek knowledge. They'll travel to go great distances and go through many hardships to seek knowledge and to learn. And in these days of ours, it's been facilitated for us by using the likes of these means. Knowledge, it comes to you. Knowledge comes to you in your home. Or even likewise, the means of transportation are easy. Maybe sometimes the scholars will go through a great hardship and they'll travel to you and bring the knowledge to you and establish seminars and the likes of what we have today. The likes of what we have today in this seminar. And this is a great blessing.
ولهذا بارك الله فيكم ورضي الله عنكم جميعا العالم سبحان الله تعالى حياته كلها يؤجر عليه لماذا؟ لأنه في واقع الأمر أولا هو خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في تبليغ الدين وحماية الدين ونفي البدع والشبهات عن الدين لهذا النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول إن العلماء ورثة الأنبياء وإن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما وإنما ورثوا العلم وتعلمون بأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حياته كلها أجر وثواب كذلك العلماء الذين فعلا على منهج النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وعلى طريقة الصحابة الكرام حياتهم كلها أجر سواء في حال اليقظة أو في حال النوم في حال السفر في حال اليقامة على أي حال لماذا؟ لأنهم نواب عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في حماية الدين في تبليغ الناس رسالة رب العالمين وفي رفع الجهل عن الناس لذلك ليس هناك رتبة ولا وظيفة ولا منزلة مثل العلماء الذين يعلمون الناس ويرفعون عنهم الجهل
And then the Shaykh, he mentioned, Hafidhullah, he said, may Allah bless you. May Allah bless you and be pleased with all of you, a true scholar. A true scholar, his whole life in entirety is reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number one, this is because he has taken the responsibility of that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with, yani in conveying the message and in defending the religion and clarifying the truth and refuting falsehood and the people of deviation and the likes like this. So his whole life is an action of worship, and he will have a reward for that. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna al-anbiya lam yuwarithu, inna al-ulama'a warathatul anbiya." That indeed the people of knowledge, the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets. "Inna al-anbiya lam yuwarithu dinara wala dirhama, warathul ilma." And that the prophets, they did not leave as inheritance any money or wealth behind. They left behind knowledge. So the people of knowledge, they are carrying on the call of the prophets and messengers. So their life in entirety, they're rewarded. Those true scholars, those who are upon the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who are upon the way of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, their whole life in entirety, whether they're sleeping, or whether they're awake, or whether they're a resident, or whether they're traveling, in their entire life is a means to draw near to Allah and gain reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because they had freed themselves up and they have dedicated themselves entirely to learning the religion and defending the religion and to spreading the truth. So there's no level or rank that one could obtain higher than the level of the scholars, those who teach and educate the people and remove ignorance from them.
الإخلاص إخلاص النية لله عز وجل وأن يكون طلبك العلم لله لأن هذه مسألة غاية في الخطورة ومسألة هذه قلبية محلها القلب فالله عز وجل هو المطلع على القلوب لهذا الإنسان إذا أقبل على العلم يجب عليه أن يقبل بإخلاص لله عز وجل لرفع الجهل عن نفسه ولرفع الجهل عن الآخرين هذه أول خطوة
So may Allah bless you. The first thing that we must be concerned with. The first thing you must be concerned with when you're going to start seeking knowledge and learning is being sincere. You have to be sincere. Have al-ikhlas and make your intention purely for the sake of Allah. So you must seek knowledge for Allah, for Allah alone. And this is a very dangerous and important issue, and because this is something from the affairs of the hearts, and it is Allah Azza wa Jal who is aware of that which is in the hearts. So a person, he has to be sincere and seek knowledge to learn the truth, to apply it, and to remove ignorance from himself.
ثانيا التدرج في طلب العلم لابد من منهجية واضحة في طلب العلم لأن من رام العلم جملة ذهب عنه جملة والله جل وعلا يقول في كتابه العزيز ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون قال ابن عباس وقتادة وغيرهما الرباني هو الذي يعلم الناس صغار العلم قبل كباره ولهذا المنهجية هذه مهمة جدا فمن الناس من انقطع في نصف الطريق لماذا؟ لأن ثقل عليه العلم كون ما أخذها بمنهجية وفي من الناس من صبر على طلب العلم سنوات ومشى بمنهجية ووفقه الله سبحانه وتعالى وهذه المنهجية تحتاج أن تراجع العلماء وأن ترتبط بالعلماء وأن تسأل العلماء عن كيفية طلب العلم الطريقة المثلى في التدرج في العلم
And then he mentioned Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, that's the second point here that we mentioned about seeking knowledge, is that a person, he must make tadarruj, which means that he must prioritize. He must prioritize and learn little by little. And there must be a clear methodology. There must be a clear methodology that the student is going to traverse upon. He's not going to go all over the place. And the people of knowledge, they say, من رام العلم جملة, من رام العلم جملة, ذهب عنه جملة. Then whoever tries to obtain knowledge all at one time, he will lose it all at one time. It will go away from him all at one time. And Allah, he mentions in his book, Rabbaniyun, Rabbaniyin, bima kuntum tu'alimun al-kitaba, wa bima kuntum tadrusun, that you must be Rabbaniyun, Rabbani, Ibn Abbasin, radiyallahu anhum, and Qatad, and other than them, they mentioned that this is a person who teaches the people the small knowledge before the big knowledge, any of the fundamentals before the other issues, the most important knowledge first. So this is very important, because a person, if he starts seeking knowledge, but he doesn't follow the proper methodology, and he hastens and he skips, and the likes like this, then he's going to get halfway down the path, and then he will maybe give up, it will become too heavy for him, he will not be able to continue, he will not be able to bear it, because he didn't learn properly. He didn't learn properly. On the other hand, a person, maybe he will learn, maybe he will seek knowledge for a long time, but he will do it gradually, little by little, showing precedence to that which takes preference, and in the end he will have obtained a lot of knowledge and become grounded and firm in the religion. And also, in order to do this, in order to truly have guidance in this and to know the right methodology, a person has to ask the people of knowledge. Person has to have a connection with the people of knowledge to ask them how and what is the manner of gradually learning and seeking knowledge in which subjects and the like takes precedence.
ثالثا العمل بهذا العلم من أخطر الخطر ومن أشد الأمور أن الإنسان يطلب العلم ولا يعمل به ولذلك قال الله جل وعلا يا أيها الذين آمنوا لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون يقول جل وعلا أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون ولهذا يجب على طالب العلم أن يتمثل العلم أن يترجم العلم ترجمة عملية خلال عباداته أقواله أفعاله أخلاقه تصرفاته ومن من من العقوبات للذين لا يعمل أن الله تعالى ينتزع منه العلم هذه النعمة العظيمة يقول علي بن أبي طالب صرخ العلم في العمل فإن أجابه إلا ارتحل يعني العلم ينادي العمل أين العمل فإن أجابه أنا موجود وإلا ارتحل عنه لهذا واجب على المسلم عموما وطالب العلم خصوصا أن يظهر أثر العلم على عليه من خلال عباداته و من خلال سكينته من خلال أخلاقه فعلا يتمثل العلم الشرعي الذي هو جاء يعني به الإسلام يتمثله تمثلا واقعيا
And then the Shaykh, he mentioned Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, the third point here is that one, he must apply the knowledge that they learn. And this is a very dangerous affair. And this is something very serious. To seek knowledge, the one who seeks knowledge, but he doesn't apply the knowledge. The one who seeks knowledge and doesn't apply the knowledge. Allah, He says, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ عَمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقَتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? It's very detestful in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla that you say that which you do not know, and that you say that which you do not do. And likewise, Allah, He says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ فَلَا تَقِيرُونَ. And you recite you order the people with goodness, and you forget it, you forget your own souls. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do you order the people with righteousness, and you forget your own souls? And you all reciting the book, meaning you're aware and you have knowledge. Do you not have any understanding? So the Shaykh, he mentioned, Hafidhahullah, that from here we see that it's very important. It's an obligation that a person, he applies the knowledge in his life. And he mentioned an expression, and يُتَرْجِمَ الْعِلْمِ تَرْجَمَ عَمَلِيَّ, and that he will translate the knowledge from knowledge or something in the heart to action, that he'll implement it in his life, that he will implement that knowledge in his life, in his actions. It will be seen in his statements, it will be seen in his deeds, it will be seen in his manner, it will be seen in his conduct, it will be seen in his worship. And he will implement that knowledge in his life until it's seen from him. And he warned from not applying the knowledge. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the punishment that comes about for learning but not applying the knowledge is that the knowledge will be stripped. And there's a narration from Ali radiallahu anhu, and he mentioned that hatafa al-ilmu bil-amal, that knowledge, it calls for action. فَإِنَ جَابَ وَإِلَّا رَحَلَ. And if the person responds, then it will be good, the knowledge will stay, but if not, the knowledge will leave. So the point is that if a person, he learns and then he applies it, the knowledge will grow and benefit and be good, but if not, then the knowledge will be lost. So a Muslim in general, and a student of knowledge specifically, it's incumbent that the knowledge that they learn and that they obtain is seen on them, that they implement it in their life, that they apply it in their life until the knowledge is seen in their conduct, the way they move, the way they speak, the way they deal with the people, the way they worship, the conduct, their manners. All of these affairs is utmost importance for those who seek knowledge, that it's seen in their lives.
كذلك الحذر من طلب الشهرة بهذا العلم لأن من الناس من يدخل عليه الشيطان مداخل فيبدأ يتطلع إلى أن يكون مشتهرا حتى بعض الناس يقول كيف أكون متميز كيف أكون مشتهر وهذا أمر خطير الشهرة هذه من الله عز وجل ولذلك يصدر مرسوم إلهي بأن فلان سيشتهر وفي الغالب أن الله تعالى يشهر الأخفياء الذين يهربون من الشهرة لأن الله اطلع على قلوبهم وعلم مقاصدهم لهذا الإمام أحمد بن حنبل كان يقول يا ليتني ما اشتهرت يا ليتني كنت كذا لماذا؟ لأنه هو لم يطلب الشهرة فيوجد من طلبة العلم من يبحث عن الشهرة يبحث عن الأضواء يبحث عن التميز وهذا خطر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أخبرنا بأن أول من تسعر بهم النار ثلاث وذكر منهم قارئ للقرآن وعالم قارئ للقرآن يؤتى بيوم القيامة فيقال له ماذا عملت؟ قال قرأت القرآن في سبيلك وتعلمت قارئ وعالم يقول قرأت القرآن في سبيلك وتعلمت العلم في سبيلك كأنه يريد أن يخادع الله الذي لا يخفى عليه خافية فيقول الله له كذبت ولكنك قرأت القرآن ليقال قارئ وقد قيل وتعلمت العلم ليقال عالم وقد قيل ثم يسحب على وجهه ويبقى في النار هذا أمر خطير لهذا إخواني والله أنا شخصيا أعرف أناس مغمورين أخفياء أشهرهم الله عز وجل شهرة عجيبة لماذا؟ لأن الله اطلع على قلوبه وعلم حسن قصده وفي أناس سعوا إلى الشهرة وبذلوا هذا وقد يعني صدر من فلتات لسانهم ما يدل على هذا فابتلاهم الله عز وجل نعم اشتهروا لكن الله فضحهم وابتلاهم لهذا الإنسان دائما يحذر من هذه المداخل الشيطانية التي يدخل فيها على طالب العلم يريد الشهرة والأضواء والبروز
And then the Shaykh, he mentioned Hafidhahullah Ta'ala that he warned you to be cautious and to be to be aware of this issue here, and that is the affair of seeking fame by way of knowledge, seeking to be known, seeking to become famous, seeking to have lots of followers and the likes like this. This is from the avenues of the devil. This is from the ways the devil, he will try to mislead a person. Sometimes maybe a person, he will start seeking knowledge, and then he will start asking himself, how can I become famous? How can I get more followers? How can I be distinguished from others? How can people start to know me? And the likes like this. And all of this is from the traps of the devil. And a person, he has to be cautious. And in reality, fame, or that a person, he becomes famous or well-known or has a lot of followers, this is in the hands of Allah. This is a divine ruling from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether a person he has followers, or whether his knowledge is spread, whether he's well known, so on and so forth, this is all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many times there will be individuals who they themselves, they're unknown. They're unknown, but they have efforts and they strive, and Allah, he will make them known. Because Allah, he sees in their heart sincerity. So there'll be people who are striving to not be unknown, to not be famous, or to not put themselves forward, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise them and make them famous from His grace and from His mercy. And on the other hand, maybe there are some people who are wanting to be seen and wanting to be famous, and Allah will try them. And Allah will try them, and this will become known from some of the slips of their tongue that they have these ill and bad intentions. So Imam Ahmad, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he said, I wish that I never became famous. I wish that I never even knew. The people never even knew me. And the likes like this. He wish he was not tried with fame and being well known and having a lot of followers. So from the first of those to be tried on the day of resurrection, and the fire will be lit by way of them is a reciter of the Quran and a person of knowledge. The one who's reciting the Quran, Qari al-Quran, and the one who's teaching the people. And it will be said to him, and what did you do? What did you do with the Quran, with the knowledge that I have blessed you with? And he will say, oh, I read the Quran for your sake, and I learned the knowledge for your sake, and I taught knowledge for your sake. And like he's trying to trick or deceive Allah Azza wa Jal. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, rather you lied. You're lying. You sought knowledge so that the people will say you're a scholar. You taught people so that people will praise you and say you're a scholar. You recite the Quran so people will call you a reciter and the like like this. So therefore he'll be drug on his face and cast into hellfire. So this is a very dangerous affair. He said, the Shaykh mentioned about himself, Hafidhullah, that he knows individuals himself, and he by name, that they were not famous people. And they're not trying to be famous. They were hidden. They have efforts. But Allah made them well known. Allah spread their name and gave them followers as a blessing, because Allah is aware of the sincerity and the good intention that they have. So they're not trying to be known, but they're not trying to be known, and they can't help it except they have followers, and they become famous and well known by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla. On the other hand, maybe somebody who will try and he will work to be known until he's exposed and it's seen from some of his actions or statements. Wa iyadhu billah.
كذلك من توفيق الله عز وجل لطالب العلم أن يتأدب مع المشايخ ومع العلماء. هذا الأدب العظيم هذا فيه بركة عظيمة يبارك الله عز وجل لطالب العلم. وانظر إلى حديث عمر بن الخطاب الذي يسمى بأم السنة الذي عند مسلم. حديث جبريل. كيف جلس جبريل إلى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام؟ قال عمر أسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتي ووضع كفيه على فخذيه. الله أكبر. شوف كيف الأدب، أدب جبريل مع النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، وقد جاء في سورة إنسان. لهذا الصحابة رضي الله عنهم ما كانوا ينظرون إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع شوقهم إليه، ولا تملأ أعينهم منه أدبا واحتراما للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، فهم يكحلون أعينهم برؤية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لكن من شدة أدبهم أنهم يخفضون رؤوسهم أحيانا. هذا الشافعي رحمة الله عليه يقول أحد تلاميذه، كنا نقلب الأوراق بين يديه برفق. قيل هذا عند الإمام مالك أيضا ابن أنس، يقلبون الأوراق برفق. لهذا الإنسان يتأدب مع المشايخ من حيث الحضور، من حيث الألفاظ، يعني إضفاء الألقاب على الشيخ حتى ولو لم يحب ذلك. يا فضيلة الشيخ، يا شيخنا، يا معلمنا مثلا. هذا هو كان طريقة السلف الصالح رضي الله عنه. ولا يفرح الإنسان بزلة شيخه وأستاذه، فإذا رأى زلة كتمها ثم ناصحه مباشرة بينه وبينه، ولا يجهر بهذه النصيحة كما كان العلماء قديما. ومن أدبهم، لاحظ سبحان الله العظيم، الطالب من أدبه إذا لاحظ على الشيخ شيء، مثلا روى حديثا ضعيفا، فكيف ينصحه؟ ينصحه النصيحة بمعرض السؤال، يقول له: يا شيخنا، هل من اختياركم صحة هذا الحديث وأن صح لديكم؟ فقد يكون العالم حفظه قديما واعتقد بأنه ضعيف، عفوا صحيح، وهو ضعيف مثلا، فمن الأدب أن يقول له: يا شيخنا، مثلا أنتم تصححون هذا الحديث؟ هنا العالم ينتبه، إما أن يقول نعم إذا كان قد درسه، وإما أن يقول نبحث هذا مثلا، أو مسألة فقهية، أو مسألة حتى في أصولية. هذا اختياركم يا شيخنا مثلا، هذا اختياركم، هذا أدب عظيم. لذلك سبحان الله العظيم، هذا الأدب يبارك الله عز وجل في طالب العلم لما يتأدب مع العالم بمثل هذه الطريقة. وأما الإساءة إلى العلماء ففيه نزع للبركة سبحان الله العظيم. وأنا لا أريد أن أذكر، والله في حياتنا مرة أشخاص كانوا أذكياء من طلبة العلم وكانوا نبهاء، لكن سوء الأدب في التعامل مع العلماء ما بارك الله عز وجل له، اختفوا. أنا شخصيا أعرف أناس من 20 و25 سنة كانوا أقوياء في العلم، سبحان الله ما كتب الله لهم قبول. لماذا؟ لأني أنا كنت أشاهدهم وهم يتعاملون مع العلماء بسوء أدب، خاصة علماء أهل السنة الذين أصولهم في التلقي والاستدلال، أصول الصحابة، أصول السلف الصالح، أصول القرون المفضلة الثلاثة. لهذا الإنسان لابد أن يكون لديه حقيقة أدب. وأنا أنصح بقراءة كتابين، الكتاب الأول المعاصر حلية طالب العلم الشيخ بكر أبو زيد، والكتاب الثاني لسعد الدين بن جماعة الشافعي، وهو تذكرة السامع والمتكلم في آداب العالم والمتعلم. جميل أن يقرأ الإنسان. طبعا ابن عبد البر له كتاب عظيم جامع بيان العلم وفضله أيضا، لكن حلية طالب العلم حقيقة من الكتب الطيبة اللي شرحها الشيخ ابن عثيمين، تذكرة السامع المتكلم وإن كان في بعض الملحوظات لكنه كتاب حقيقي ربي، يبين لك الأدب بالنسبة للعالم والأدب بالنسبة للمتعلم.
Then the Shaykh mentioned Hafidhullah Ta'ala that also from the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jal and the important affairs with regards to seeking knowledge is to have noble manners. To have noble and good manners, particularly with the mashaykh, with the teachers, with the scholars and the likes. And this is a means to have great, great blessing. A means to obtain great, great blessing for the student. And to have noble manners with the teachers, to have good and noble and kind manners with the teachers. And we all know the hadith which the people of knowledge refer to as as-sunnah, the mother of the sunnah, which is collected in Sahih Muslim. For it's known as also the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, and in the description of Umar for how Jibreel, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said he came to him and he sat right in front of him, putting his knees up to his knees and then putting his hands on his lap. Alayhi salam, and he's sitting there in this manner calmly in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with noble manners. The Shaykh said, Allahu Akbar, look at this manners, how he come and how he sit with his legs crossed and his hands on his lap like this, very close, ready to pay attention and to benefit. So this is great manners with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise the companions radiallahu anhum, although they had tremendous love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they respected him dearly and they loved to see him. Sometimes, out of reverence and honor for him, they'll not be able to look him in the eye. They'll not be able to look him in the eye. Not always, but sometimes, and because of their great love and reverence for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will lower their heads. They'll lower their heads, and they'll not be able to look him, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, directly in the eyes, out of reverence and love and honor and respect. Out of reverence, love, honor, and respect. Also, the Shaykh mentioned hafidhahullah about Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. Let's mention that some of them, they will not be able, whenever they turn the pages of the book in the gathering, they'll do that very lightly. Also, it's mentioned about Imam Malik, likewise, a very similar thing. That the students, out of respect and reverence for their teacher, they will not make loud noises in turning the pages. They would even observe turning the pages any quietly in order to not disturb the teacher when he's teaching, or to disturb the people in the gatherings. Or to disturb the people in the gathering. So it's incumbent that we have good manners good manners with the people of knowledge, with the scholars, with the teachers, by attending the lessons and the words that you choose whenever you speak to them. You choose the good words to address them and the way that you talk to them. And also you give them titles when you speak to them. You call him Shaykh or Fadil to Shaykh, or you call him Ustad or the likes like this. You use these terms, even if they're terms that maybe the Shaykh himself, he doesn't like, and he's not looking for that. But this is from the noble manners and the good manners that you don't call him by his name. You address him with a title that indicates knowledge. Then after that, the Shaykh, he went on to mention, Hafidhullah, that also if the Shaykh, he makes a mistake, this is not something that you should rejoice over. If the Shaykh, he slips or he says something wrong, then you're not happy about this. Rather, if you can correct him, then you correct him. For example, if the student, he notices that his Shaykh, he made a mistake, or he was in error, the way that he will correct him is not by directly approaching him or the likes like this, but rather he will attempt to correct him by making a question. For example, if he mentioned a narration that's weak, the student, he knows the narration is weak, so he will ask the Shaykh, he'll say, Shaykh, have you authenticated this narration, or is this a narration that you have authenticated before, or is it your position on this particular narration that it's authentic? Like this, he'll ask him a question, because maybe the Shaykh, he learned the narration a long time ago and he didn't know that it was weak, for example, or he thought that it was authentic. So in any case, if the student thinks that the Shaykh made a mistake, he will find out about that or correct that by asking a question, not by going directly. Likewise, in the affairs of fiqh and jurisprudence, a particular ruling and worship or the likes like this, if the Shaykh says something contrary to what the student knows, he will not ask him or say that he's wrong or the likes like this. Rather, he will say, oh Shaykh, is this actually your position in this issue? I know that the people of knowledge, they differ in this subject, so this is the position that you take, so on and so forth, and he will speak to them in this manner. So in any case, there's great blessing. Great blessing for a student of knowledge comes about by way of having noble and good manners. And on the other hand, the blessing of knowledge and seeking knowledge is stripped from the ones who have bad manners, especially those who have bad manners with the people of knowledge. And the Shaykh, again, he mentioned a personal experience. He says, I know individuals for 20, 25 years that in reality, for some time, they're very strong in seeking knowledge. They're very strong students of knowledge, but come to find out they started having bad dealings. They started speaking ill about scholars, having bad manners with the scholars, especially the scholars of the Sunnah, those who are known for establishing the evidences based upon the Quran and the Sunnah and understanding the Sahaba and likes like this. They start belittling them and putting them down. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He did not write for them that they will have benefit, meaning they're lost. They're lost. So the Shaykh, after this, Hafidhullah, he recommended a few books. The first book is Hilyatu Talib al-Ilm, which is the adornment of the seeker of knowledge, the student of knowledge. And that is by Shaykh Bakr Abu Zayd, rahimahullah. And also there's an explanation by Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. He mentioned that this is a very beneficial book. This is a great book. And there's another book by Ibn Jama'ah, rahimahullah, called Tadhkirat al-Sami', which is a very, very beneficial book, although it has some places in it that you have to pay attention to that are errors that should be noted. But in general, it's a very beneficial book, clarifying the manners of the teacher and likewise the manners of the student. Also, Ibn Abd al-Barr, rahimahullah, he has another book as well, called Jami' Bayan al-Ilm wa Fadlihi. And these are some of the books that the Shaykh, he advised, especially advising with Hilya, Talib al-Ilm.
في وقت ولا بعد ولا خلاص؟
تفضل شيخنا، نحن معكم الحمد لله.
طيب. أيضا من الوصايا العشق بالعلم. عشق، لا بد لطالب العلم أن يعشق العلم، أن يعشق الكتب، أن يكون له اهتمام. ليست القضية قضية معلومات. المعلومات الآن عند أغلب الناس عندهم معلومات. يعني يمكن وسائل التواصل هذه أسهمت بتوسيع دائرة المعلومات. لا، الطالب العلم يتميز بالعلم بالقواعد، وهذا لا يتم إلا من خلال الخطوات التي ذكرتها، وأن يكون له عشق للعلم. كيف عشق للعلم؟ يعني أرأيتم العاشق دائما يهيم في معشوقته ويتذكرها، كذلك طالب العلم دائما شغله الشاغل العلم والمسائل، حتى لدرجة أن من العلماء وهو في سياق الموت يتحدث بالعلم. فهذا أبو يوسف القاضي الذي صاحب أبي حنيف، صح، هذا المعروف أبو يوسف وهو يحتضر يقول أحد تلاميذي أفاق فسألني مسألة، قال أيهما أفضل، الرمي ماشيا رمي الجمرات، الرمي ماشيا أم الرمي راكبا؟ فقلت له في هذه الساعة، يعني وأنت تحتضر، قال نعم نعم في هذه الساعة لعل الله عز وجل ينفع بها قبل الموت. يقول فقلت ماشيا، قال غلط. فقلت راكبا، فقال غلط. فقلت ماذا إذن، أخبرني رضي الله عنك. فقال إن كان في الجمرات التي بعدها دعاء ماشية، وهي الجمرة الصغرى والجمرة الوسطى، أي جمرة بعدها دعاء يكون ماشيا أفضل، وأي جمرة ليس بعدها دعاء يكون راكبا، وهي الجمرة العقبة التي ترمى يوم العيد، رماها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم العيد فقط جمرة العقبة والأيام الثلاث. يقول هذا التلميذ فخرجت من عندي، عند الباب سمعت الصراخ، قالوا مات أبو يوسف. سبحان الله العظيم، شوف عشق العلم كيف يجعل العالم وهو في سياق الموت، وهو في يعني نزعات الموت، ومع ذلك يتحدث بالعلم. والإمام أحمد رحمة الله عليه لما قيل إلى متى يا أحمد وأنت تركض خلف الصبيان، قال من المحبرة إلى المقبرة. لهذا لابد للإنسان، الحمد لله الآن توفر العلم، يعني أنت في السيارة تستطيع تطلب العلم، السيديات، الأقراص، المحاضرات، الدروس مثلا العلمية. أنا أعرف أشخاص يقول لي خلصت عشرات المتون، شروح عشرات المتون في السيارة. يقول لي شخص أنا حفظت القرآن في السيارة. كيف؟ يقول من عملي، من بيتي إلى الجامعة، من بيتي إلى العمل، يقول هذه خططت لها أنني أحفظ القرآن عن طريق هذه الصوتية. فلذلك لابد لطالب العلم أن يكون قلقه السائر، شغله الشاغل العلم. هذا هو العلم فعلا الحقيقي الذي يبارك الله عز وجل فيه للإنسان.
That Sheikh, he mentioned Hafidhahullah, and also from the important advices with regards to seeking knowledge is that a person, he has to have great love for knowledge, and a great desire, a fervent desire and love for knowledge, and for books, and the books of knowledge, and the likes like this, and to have very diligent concern, and this love that is a fervent love and desire to obtain knowledge and to seek knowledge and to read about knowledge and the likes like this. And he says, Hafidhullah, we're not talking about just my information. We're not talking about information. Today is the day of information. This is the era of information. Everybody has information. And information is easy for everyone to obtain. We're not talking about that. We're talking about actually obtaining knowledge, until a person, he's a student of knowledge, distinguished because of knowledge, distinguished with the principles of knowledge and the fundamentals of knowledge, and he's engulfed literally in knowledge all day, all night. This is what he thinks about. And so he's saying, how does one come to this level where he has a great love and fervent desire to obtain knowledge, and meaning that he's always busy with knowledge. Wherever he's at, whatever he's doing, he's engaged in knowledge. And it's been narrated from a number of the Salaf about this affair. Even like Abu Yusuf, one of the students of Abu Hanifa, rahimahumullah, whenever he's on his deathbed, he asked one of his students, and he had a question about knowledge. He said to him, if you're stoning the Jamarat on Hajj, which is better, to do it walking or to do it riding? To do it walking, to do it riding. So the student, he said, to do it walking. He said, wrong. He said, to do it riding. He said, wrong. He said, then what's the answer then? He said that whenever you are coming to, if you're stoning the jamarah that you make dua after, then it's better to do it walking. And if you are stoning the jamarah that there's no dua after, then it's better to do it riding. Then it's better to do the riding. And the one that you make dua after is the first two. And the last one is the large one. That one you don't make dua after. So in any case, he's on his deathbed until this moment here. Even whenever he asked the student a question, the student said, even right now you're going to ask me this question? Like right now, in this state that you're in, you're talking about this knowledge like this? And this is because he has great love for knowledge. His love and desire, fervent desire for knowledge, he's busy with it all the way, literally, until his death. And the student here, it's mentioned after that, he came outside and then he heard a crier call out that Abu Yusuf had died. And it was just moments, literally, before his death. This is what he's engaged in. And this is like what is mentioned about Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala. He's asked, how long are you going to seek knowledge? He said, from the cradle to the grave. Yani, so long as I'm alive, inshaAllah. Yani, so this is the case of the Salaf. They had this fervent desire and great love for knowledge to carry them to seek knowledge all the time. So this is even more facilitated for us in these days. A person, he can seek knowledge in his car. You can seek knowledge when you're in your car. He said, I know individuals personally. Individuals that remember tens of different texts, Islamic texts. They remember them. They memorize it from the front to the back while they're riding in the car. Another person, he says, I know a person who memorized the whole Quran from just riding in the car. They say, how do you do that? He said, well, I made a program. I made a program when I go to work and when I go to school at this time and that time. I listen to this. I review this. I go over this until they had completed a lot of text and memorized the Quran and the likes like this. So a person, he has to take advantage of his time and arrange his life, and he can benefit from knowledge in a great manner. And this is a great, great blessing for a student and for a Muslim.
ليكتفي بهذا القدر لكنني أشكر الله تعالى أولا وآخرا وظاهرا وباطنا ثم الشكر للإخوة الفضلاء القائمين على هذا المسجد وعلى هذه الدورة المباركة التي حقيقة أسأل الله تعالى أن ينفع بها كل من حضر. الشكر للأخ الفاضل وعبد الله خليفة. الشكر أيضا لأبي عبد الرحمن الأخ سمير على هذه الترجمة الرائعة. شكر لكم أيضا أنتم على الحضور والإنصات والاستماع, وإن شاء الله يتجدد اللقاء معكم على خير. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبد الله ورسوله محمد.
جزاكم الله خير شيخنا, الله يبارك فيكم. The Sheikh, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, and then after that he like to thank the brothers, especially those who are administrating the masjid and the seminar, those who are participating. And he showed his appreciation for Sheikh Khalif and for the translator. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit by these gatherings and by this knowledge. And he's very happy and pleased to meet and to gather with all of you and to study. And he has asked Allah, inshallah, we have future meetings likewise, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. جزاكم الله خير. استعبدكم حياكم الله. أحسن الله إليكم شيخنا.
بارك الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.